So let's just pray that God would just have His hand over each of us in our time together here this morning. God, we thank You so much for this family You made us a part of. We thank You so much for this community. We thank You for each opportunity that we have to be together. And for these opportunities here on Sunday mornings, God, we thank You. And we just pray that Your Spirit would just be so strong among us. God, You just breathe Yourself into each of us this morning, God, that You would just illuminate Your Word, open it up to us, give us ears to hear what You'd have us to say, God. Let's open my mouth, God. May You fill it, move me completely out of the way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so let's again, just really quick, remember where we are in context in Ephesians. We have, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but suffice it to say that we are talking about the nuts and bolts of what it means to be a Christian. Okay, the really pragmatic how to live like a follower of Jesus. Okay, that's what the last part of Ephesians is. Okay, and it's kind of summed up in this: submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. You know, our submission to Jesus is it mirrors His submission, and that submission is also played out in our relationships with each other. This not lording over other people and giving of way to other people, and of choosing not to exercise the power that we have over other people. It's just the heart of what it means to be a Christian. And we talked about what that looks like in our marriage relationships a couple weeks ago. How that, there's just always this mutual reciprocal submission, this mutual reciprocal choosing of the other person over yourself. And we talked about last week how that looks like in our relationships with our employers. You know, being a Christian means that we are hard workers. That whatever we put our hands to, that we do that with everything that we are. Period. You know, those of us that are employed, we treat our employers, you know, with incredible respect. We submit. And we worship God through our hard work and through whatever we do, to whatever we put our hands to. And we don't. And then those of us who are in positions of authority, we don't lord that over other people. We submit. We choose the other person also. And so that's kind of the context. You know, Paul has these three couplets. Marriage relationships, employer-employee relationships, and now parent and child relationships. These three couplets. And let's get to it. This text. And the first one is always expected. It's easy. It starts out like everyone knows. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Everyone knows that, and that's the way it should be, right? And that's incredibly important for children to know that. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. So back in Deuteronomy, it says, honor your father and mother so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy long life on the earth. What does this mean? Does this mean that if you obey your parents, that God waves His magic wand and makes your life good, and that you'll live a long time and your life will go well? Is that what this means? No. What's it talking about here? If you honor your father and mother, it will go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on the earth. That's what it said though, right? No. That's not the magic wand situation. If you honor your father and mother, if you obey, you listen to your father and mother's instructions, and they're doing their job, what they're supposed to be doing, your life will go well. That's why they are instructing you. Are you with me? That's why they are instructing you. That's why they're raising you, so that it will go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on the earth. You honor your father and mother because they have wisdom they're trying to share and trying to impart to you, so that it may go well with you and you may enjoy a long life on the earth. So what about us who aren't children, who are grown, who are parents? How does this always work out? You know, I've always kind of struggled with this myself. How do you honor your father and mother when you're an adult? Or when you're, you know, a young adult or an older adult, middle-aged adult? How do you honor your father and mother? Does this still mean you have to obey all their instructions, obey everything they say? Is this still what this is talking about? How do you honor your father and your mother? You live your life in a way that makes them know their sacrifices were worth it. So this instruction just applies to all of us. We're not all parents, but we are all children of parents. And honoring the sacrifices and honoring the effort that our fathers and mothers and those who raised us, whoever they may be, so that they know that what they did, that their sacrifices were worth it. Because it's not easy to be a parent, is it? Is that something that we can agree on? It's not easy. This is a tough, tough task. So it starts out by saying this first part of this couplet, children, obey your parents, submit to your parents because they want what's best for you. But then there's this twist. His fathers, the parents, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. You know, being a parent is not, I mean, it is so hard. But it seems like exasperating your children is incredibly easy, isn't it? And you know, some translations have this as frustrate or anger your children. And the word here is only used just a handful of times in the scriptures. This parorgizo, and it comes from two words. It means along, close beside, and make angry. Okay, which is really, really interesting. It says parorgizo. So this word, or exasperate or frustrate, means to rouse someone to anger, to provoke in a way that really pushes someone's buttons, hey, really to get to them in an up close and personal way. Because literally, the word starts with close beside. So it's not as that you're just making someone angry. It's that you're someone you know really, really, really well, and and it's the thing is it hurts. You can't hurt anyone like you can hurt the people you're closest to. I mean, you can say all, you know, everybody in here can say all sorts of things of to me or about me or whatever, like you do, I'm sure. And it really wouldn't matter. But now if Shelley does it, it's a different story, isn't it? This is saying the same way. He said, you know, you parents are so close to your children. You have to be very, very careful that the things you do and say do not parorgizo. They do not destroy that child. It's this great responsibility that you have, that you are so close to your children. It's almost, you know, it's hazardous. Do not exasperate your children. Not break your children down. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Don't tear your children down. Lord, this is the second couplet, and the second part of the submission couplet here. Submit to your children. Don't lord your authority over them. Right? Do not lord yourself over them. Do not, because of the closeness of your relationship, seek ways to push their buttons and to cross that line. But it doesn't leave it there. It says, do not submit to your, you know, submit to your children. Submit yourself to your children. Don't lord your authority over them. And doesn't say, but then let them do whatever they want to do. Or then worship your children. It says, instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. You might say, I think I would probably say it this way. Fathers, do not tear down your children. Instead, build them up. Build them up. Okay? Now, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord. Now, the first part of this is almost this darkness. You don't exasperate your children. You're so close to them that your words and your actions can do so much damage. That's kind of a dark thing, right? But this, the second part of this is this incredible opportunity, this incredible invitation to build these children up. Not only that, not only to merely bring them up, but to bring them, to build them up in God. Build them up into the kingdom of God. So that's kind of the text for today, right? And so I have to get some... I want to get a little help with this. So, like I said, I've asked Troy to come and to share some of his thoughts on these texts and how that we as parents, or how as we as children, how we as followers of Christ can think about ways to obey or to not exasperate our children, how to build each other up. Come on, Troy.
Well, I just want to start by saying I'm far, far from the perfect parent. My wife would tell you in a heartbeat. I've been trying to help parents parent for about 6 or 7 years now, and I just became a parent. Wilder's almost 10 years old now, and 10 months old. So, yeah, he's aging quick, right? But, you know, to me, when I read this text, I think back in my practice, and what really stands out to me is the majority of the problems I face with kids is parents, they just don't pay attention to them. You know, there's actual disorders that are created because parents don't pay attention to their kids. You know, it's a kid thinks, well, really anybody thinks this way, it is much better to do something negative and get the attention than just be ignored and float through life. Okay, that's a way better outcome for them. They strive for that attention, right? So, you know, I like with my son, I love to hunt fish. That's like my favorite thing in the world. I think about it constantly, probably too much. And I really hope Wilder wants to hunt and fish one day. But if he like gets into ballet or something, I guess I'm going to be like the best ballet dad ever, right? I might get a leotard, you just never know. So, but, you know, it's, we want to be invested and, you know, submit to our kids' likings and what they want to do and give them all this attention, right? And that's one end of the spectrum, but you can also go too far as well. Okay, and I'm sure everybody here has been around a kid that's very, very spoiled, right? Let's say you're having a conversation with a kid. Well, that kid should probably ask you how you're doing, you know, or ask you about stuff that you like, right? My dad, if I want to get him talking, all I got to do is ask about the Braves, right? And I'm pretty sure he thought I was going to be a Atlanta Braves pitcher for a while. Or I can bring up work or something, right? Then this kind of teaches kids to build that empathy, you know? But it is just submitting to, you know, they should be your number one priority. You know, I spend way too much time on my phone. And I think that's really gotten into society now, too. You know, we don't... How much eye contact do you really make with your kids, you know? Unless you're, like, being an authority figure. Unless you're like trying to strike fear in them, I guess. You know, if you're invested in them, and if you can build that relationship, a lot of times you don't even have to bring consequences in. You know, I get kids that won't listen to anybody, but just because I've built rapport with them and showed that I'm interested in what they're interested in, they want to please me. They want to make sure that I'm not upset with them, right? And I do want to state this to you. You could be the perfect parent. I mean, do everything by textbook, and your kids still might not turn out the way you want them to. Okay, they do still have that free power. You know, they're going to decide what they want to be in life. You know, we're just trying to put them in a position to succeed. I'll never be able to make my son be who I think he should be. It doesn't matter if I do every single thing right. I mean, he's being raised by two therapists, so, I mean, you know. I'm surprised he's not, like, squealing or nothing now. I figured if I got up here, he would just start squealing and crying and it'd show that I'm a really bad parent. But next week we'll talk about consequences and how you go about it and how you teach your kids and things like that. But again, that's almost like if you're having to do a consequence, a lot of times it shows there's like a hitch in your relationship, to be honest with you. And it shows that, you know, we're wanting to find kind of the causality. The consequence is just what comes about after. I don't know. And parenting is really hard. I want to stress this to you. If you're getting angry, if you're getting upset, if you're doing these things and you can't communicate, then I can't expect your kid to be a bigger person than you. Okay, I get that all the time. Like, come fix my kid, come fix my kid. Well, you know, I can't ask a 6 or 7 year old to act better than a 30 year old. It's just not, you know. Don't think that. Like the other day, I'll give you one example. I have this, well, he's going to be a fifth grader. And he was upset because he lost his money that he'd earned doing chores by gambling on the Xbox with his dad. This is a real story. They were gambling on Farm Simulator. So I don't even know how you gamble on Farm Simulator, but... But yeah, he lost like $30 gambling with his dad. And his mom, you know, his mom comes in there and she's like, "Well, he didn't tell you about how he egged it on and how he keeps saying it, and finally dad just gets frustrated and just appeases him." And I'm like, "You're still the grown up. Like, it doesn't matter what your kid does. You know, this isn't a So don't, you know, you guys have some of the best behaved kids I've been around. I mean, I'm around a lot of bad behaved kids, but they act well. I don't see a ton of, like, well, I mean, they're acting great right now. So, but you know, if you can't, let's talk about two. So, if your kid is striving to get your attention, right? If you're not interested in the things they're interested in, if you're spending more time doing your own solitary interests, right? It creates this like codependency in the kid, okay? Like he's living vicariously through how you react. I can think back on my childhood, you know, my dad was, I played soccer and after I told him I wasn't going to be an Atlanta Braves pitcher, I started playing soccer and he, you know, thought it was a sissy sport and didn't want to come watch, right? So it almost created this like complex in me to like, man, I've got to be so good and so great before he's going to pay attention to me, right? And that I got like obsessed with it. I mean, I pretty much played year round, and you know, I can just think back how I would talk to him about trying to get him to come to games. I'd be like, "Listen, man, we're playing somebody that really stinks today. I'm probably going to like score a hat trick, you know." And really, that was about the only way I could get him to come. It creates these like this complex, and I see adults that are still like that with their parents. You know, they're still trying to appease them. They're still trying to figure these things out. So, I mean, just think about your relationship with God, right? Because that's kind of the model for how you should be a parent to me. How interested is God in your life? Extremely. I mean, He knows every in and out of your life. Every single thing. And you want to please Him. Okay? He's done all these things for you. He's made you, you know, gave you all these great things, all these abilities, all this stuff, right? And you want to appease Him because of it. He's taught you how to love. You know, God taught me how to love. And pretty much, if you put your kids ahead of you, you're not going to have a ton of issues, right? And then kids too, okay? Again, we want to stress that you want kids that have that empathy towards you too. They, you know, they should pick up on if you're having a bad day or if... not to the point that they're guilty or it's, you know, creating this manifested anxiety, but still, you want them to, you know, not have like, oh, I just want to talk about me and then I'm going to leave. You know, I've seen so many kids that just come in, like, they'll be like, you ask how school was, well, and then get done talking about them and they just walk off, right? And that's not really teaching them much, right? You want to have these conversations where they should know about your interests and what you like to do. If you go out to eat, and you always ask the kid where they want to go, right? Well, parents already know where they want to go, right? But does your kid know where you'd like to go, right? Do they? Do they know your interests? Do they know where you, what your favorite thing is to eat? And that's, again, parenting is... it's always evolving. It's always individualistic. If every kid's different, every kid is going to react to different things. So, but if, again, I'm not, this is like through training and stuff. I'm not the end-all be-all in parenting. It's not, and you guys are probably better parents than I am. I mean, just go ask Tammy, but... But if you guys ever have anything, I'd be glad to talk to you about it. Because I know this is kind of general and just kind of the baseline for what parenting is. So it's kind of hard when it goes through different kids and different individuals. But, you know, if you ever need anything, you know, I would love to talk to anybody about it. But... again, I think you guys have great kids. I mean, they seem like they're... I mean, if they're willing to sit up here and listen to me ramble, they're probably pretty good kids. So I can't get my wife to do that. But you guys do. You have good kids, and they have good social skills and act well. And I know in public, kids act better than at home a lot of times. You know, your kid's going to act the most immature around you. You know, they're going to present well in front of their friends, but they're at their most comfortable state when they're around you, so they're going to act more immature about it. If you want your kid to mature, just set them down in front of like a kid that's 3 years older. You know, they'll try to act just like them. But again, if you can give them that attention, if you can be submissive, again, it takes a lot of pride for me to think about I might have to like ballet, all right? Like it. Or you know, whatever that he likes, I don't care what it is. But it is, you have to swallow a lot of pride and say, hey, you know, I want to be interested in it. There's no reason I should know every My Little Pony, but I do, you know. So, I want to thank you guys, and hopefully next week we'll kind of go into, if we do have that issue where we want them to learn through consequences that we control, you know, we'll definitely go through it, because that's part of parenting, that's part of, you know, teaching the right way. A lot of times kids can't have that in-depth conversation with you, you know, they have to learn through different ways, but I do appreciate it, and thank you guys. Again, if you ever need anything, I'm always here to talk to you, so... thank you.
Sorry.
Thanks, Troy. I wanted to look at, as we close, look at another text. I love this. It's very poetic. I've always liked this statement from James chapter 1. It says, whatever in good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father, who created all the lights in the heavens. And He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. Now, there's a lot in this text. Go a lot of different directions with it. What I want to think about is the fact that God is our Father, our parent. And unlike us, He is good and perfect. And unlike us, it doesn't have moods. there's never the bad day when you just need some time, when He just needs some time to Himself, to recharge or recover. You know where He stands. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And He gives good and perfect gifts. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. And He has one single, solitary, immutable, changeless way of feeling about us. And that is love. We are far more important to Him than He is to Himself. We is His top priority. He gave everything to get to us. And the fact that as parents, or as, even if not parents, as nurturers, as human beings, as followers of Jesus, the fact that we are invited to be like that, to have that kind of life, to be that kind of person, that's amazing. That's an amazing invitation. So we're invited to the table today to remember that God is our Father, that He is good, and He sacrifices everything on our behalf, and that we are invited to be like Him.